Good morning, brothers and sisters of the Most High God. Greet each other in the most safe COVID way possible. Drie mense rondom jou, whoever dit wil gebeur, op 'n manier. Halleluja. Okay, Colette looks at me as if I've taken people's children. I don't have the children. This children's church. So the kiddies may be excused for children's church. When my wife says Marcel, she gets my like undivided attention like instantly. My heart actually leapt in my chest. But it's okay. God's on my side. Hallelujah. It's my privilege this morning to introduce a new sermon series to you called A Heart of Worship. And while we were singing that song, A Heart of Worship, I thought, you know, this een ding om 'n oulike titel vir 'n boodskap te gee and have a song and posters and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, what God wants to do in our hearts is something inside of us. So when we leave this building, we can make a difference in the world. He wants to do something inside us that when we go out there and face the real world where the rubber meets the tar, we can not only survive, but we can thrive. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what I believe this is about. It's about God equipping us to be able to face what is in the world. And not only just get through it, but to actually make a positive difference in other people's lives. So we can really live like overcomers. I'm sure we sang something like that in one of these songs. We're more than an overcomer and more than a conqueror. That's great. But that's what this is about, having a heart of worship. I'd like to start off by reading our theme scripture this morning. It's going to serve as a foundation for this series. And it's from John chapter 4 and verse 23. And the background is that Jesus meets the woman at the well. And he starts speaking to her. And he changes her life forever. And it's never the same again. Her life is never the same again. And he's teaching this woman about what worship really is. And he basically just gives her a word of knowledge about where she currently is at in her life in terms of relationships. And in her words, she goes and she tells the people, I've met this man that has told me everything that has ever happened in my life. Not really, he just spoke about specific things. But to her, the reality of her life was revealed and opened up. And that's the context. The rest of the disciples had gone into town and they were hungry, so they were on a search for pizza. And Jesus was at the well going about the Father's business. And in John chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, but the time is coming, indeed it is here now. So when is it? That time. That time is now. When true worshippers, that means that there are false worshippers also. Not only people who worship false things, but false worshippers. If there's true worshippers, there must be false worshippers. He said, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. Everybody say, that way. That way. That's the way that God is looking for people to worship Him in this particular way. So let's pray one more time. Father, we thank You that we have Your Word this morning. I want to put myself at the front of this line and in this prayer when I say, God, I've got nothing to say to Your people that can change their lives, Lord. Lord, a sermon preached by man cannot make a difference, but You, Holy Spirit, making the Word of God alive in our lives can change us forever. And so all of us here this morning, Lord, we come to celebrate You and to acknowledge our dependency upon You. Spirit of God, would You move, would You teach, would You change, would You mold us into the men and women of God that You are calling us to be. And teach us what it means, Lord God, when we see what Jesus taught this woman. And He says that You, Lord, are looking for people to worship You in a particular way, in spirit and in truth. And let this word change our lives, that it bears lasting fruit, Lord, to the praise and glory of Your name, so that Your kingdom is built in our hearts, in Jesus' precious name. And all the people of the Most High God said, amen and amen. You know, in a context like this, when there's a song called Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, and it says when we're in the land of milk and honey and it's going well, we sing praises and it's wonderful and it's easy to do that. But I want to ask us some sobering questions this morning. What would be coming out of our mouths if God never answered any one of our prayers ever again? Think about that. What would be coming out of our mouths if God never fulfilled any one of His promises in the Scripture ever again? You see, would I still be up here all hallelujah, praise the Here, how's it going? God is good. Would I still be like that? Think about it. If God never answered one of my prayers ever again and never fulfilled any one of the promises that you trust in God for ever again, what would be coming out of your mouths? Would we still be following Jesus? You see, the sobering question this morning, folks, is this. Is what Jesus Christ has already done on the cross and who God is that enough for us? How many of us have gotten into this Christianity thing because of what we were hoping God to do, expecting God to do, and needing God to do, and believing God to do? I'll be the first to raise my hand. You see, because I was a lot more and a lot bigger mess 30 years ago than I am now. And I desperately needed Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what? Niks het verander nie. I need Jesus today. Not as much as what I needed. I need Him more today than what I needed Him then, because ons is toerekeningsvatbaar vir dit wat ons weet. We're accountable for what we know. As I've grown in the Lord and learned scripture after scripture after scripture, I'm accountable because I know more and more and more. I can no longer have an excuse before God and say, Here, maar ek het nie geweet nie. Ek kan nie 'n arm op myself trek en sê, nee, Here, die vrou, wat u vir my gesê het, is haar skuld. Men? Hallo? Isn't it our nature to want to shift the blame? I can't do that anymore. I need Jesus more. So I'll be the first to admit, that's why I came to the foot of the cross in humble repentance, because I need Jesus. And that's great. There's that season and time when we go through that. But I want to remind you of a story about three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They decided they're going to serve the living God and not bow before any king or any idol. And they get threatened to be thrown into the fire by Nebuchadnezzar. And in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17, it's not going to come up, the king makes the fire hotter and hotter and hotter. And they say, and they get threatened, guys, you're going to burn. You're going to burn. How many of you have stood before the flames figuratively in your lives where you got a choice? Am I going to stick to following Jesus, or I'm going to bail out because it just doesn't suit me right now? There's just too much going on in my life right now. And these boys, they say something so significant. And they say, King, the God that we serve, He's able to deliver us out of these flames and this fire and this furnace that you've made. But you know what? Even if He doesn't, ladies and gentlemen, that's the game changer right there. They say, even if He doesn't deliver us out of these flames, we will still not bow to you or your gods. Folks, that's the challenge of where we are at this morning. Can we say that? Lord, even if you don't answer another prayer ever again, even if you don't fulfill any one of the promises in your scripture, because of what Jesus has already completed at the cross, and because of who God is, am I still going to worship Him in spirit and in truth? What are we going to do when God is not a 24-hour emergency chemist, or when He's not playing Father Christmas to us? Now, worship is not when we sing songs because things are going good around us, on the outside of us, and good things are coming our way. That's not worship. What is worship? Well, this is one way of looking at it this morning. Worship is when we allow the power of Christ in us to proclaim the goodness and reality of who God is, regardless of what's happening in our lives. I'm going to repeat that this morning. Worship is when we allow the power of Christ in us to proclaim the goodness of who God is, regardless of what's happening around us. That's worship. Worship is not when we come to church and How many of you, we missed the deep end this morning. Maar hulle het ook 'n breek nodig. Worship is not just when we come and sing songs. Or you do praise and worship at home or listening to your beat in your car. That's not worship. Worship is a heart of worship that has the ability to get us through anything and convince people of something. That's what a heart of worship is about. We allow the power of Christ in us to proclaim the goodness and the reality of who God is, regardless of what's happening in our lives. A heart of worship has the ability to carry us through any difficulty. A heart of worship continues to believe and trust the promises of God, that He's a loving Father, ongeag wat besig is om te gebeur in ons lewens. Mense praat van die wiele het afgekom. Miskien is jy op 'n plek in jou lewe, daar was nooit wiele op nie, om mee te begin. Jy word net rondgesleep. And circumstances are dictating your life. Mense vra jou, hulle vra jou, hoe gaan dit met jou? Nee, broer, onder die omstandighede. Wel ja, mense, ons het hierdie positiewe belydenis as Christene. Ons is nie geskape om onder die omstandighede te wees. Ons is geskape om bo die omstandighede. And all these lekker charismatic Christian clichés. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but life is real. Life is real. En vele male vind ons onsself op plekke where it doesn't feel like that. You feel like you've been shunted from, you're living from crisis to crisis to crisis to crisis. Come on, folks. Come on. Or is it just me? You live from crisis to crisis, one issue after another issue after another issue. You don't feel like you're walking victory. It's at times like that where if I don't have a heart of worship, the devil's going to have a field day in my life and the world is going to walk right over me. En dit gaan kom op 'n plek in my lewe waar dit jy sal nie kan onderskei tussen 'n persoon wat bely hy's 'n Christen of somebody that's lost to the world and being abused by the devil. You won't be able to discern the difference. I say this with utmost love and utmost respect. Sometimes when you look at Christians and the heaviness that's on them and their faces, you wonder, how many lemons did you suck this morning? It's like, if you say, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it and you really want to show it, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, yeah. So if you're happy and and you're filled with the joy of the Lord, laat weet jou gesig asseblief. Now you know, it's so easy for me to stand here and make a joke like that. But guess what? There's lots of times where I'm there. I am there, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because somehow I'm depending on something on the outside or some external thing or whatever, some circumstance to change before I let the heart of worship inside me do what God has created it to do. Remember, a heart of worship is one that lets the power of Christ in you declare the goodness of who God actually is, regardless of what's happening on the outside of you. That is a heart of worship. So why are we even speaking about this morning? Folks, the reality of it is like this. Jesus is not coming soon. He's not coming soon. He's on His way. He's on His way. And as we get closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the battle out there is intensifying. The battle out there is intensifying. I'm not a prophet of doom and saying, oh, this nach. But folks, if you see what's happening in the world, and if you see what's spoken about in the scriptures, mense gaan moeiliker en moeiliker raak. Maar vir die wat wie se fondasie en rots Jesus Christus is, will have victory after victory after victory. Just like it was for the Israelites at the time of the plagues. Imagine two cows standing next to each other. I think about this so many times. An Egyptian cow and an Israeli cow. And the Egyptian cow is dead. And the Israeli cow is Soos gaan hier aan. Kom aan julle. Kom aan. Picture it. That's what it's like. Those who are in the world and living for themselves and the devil. Those who belong to Christ and are living for Jesus will have victory after victory after victory. So why a heart of worship? So that ons oulike prentjies kan opsit in ons kerkgebou nou. So that God can equip us so that when we leave this building, we can stand strong out there and make a difference. Make a difference. And that's what a heart of worship is about. You see, God must be worshipped because He is God, not just because of what He does. Think about that for a moment. He must be worshipped because He's God, not just because what He does. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 29 says, "Give to the Lord the glory He deserves." Some translations say, "The glory due His name." There is glory and worship that is due to God because He is God. Regardless of what we think, how the church has misrepresented Him, how people stumble over Christians on the way to the cross, about different unscriptural false doctrines and lies of the devil, and regardless of all of that stuff, ladies and gentlemen, none of it has changed who God is. We've shared this before from this pulpit. Men say, the Word of God has changed. Really? You think because mankind has printed a few crooked books that's labeled Bibles that we can change the Word of God? You can't change the Word of God ever. The Word of God remains the Word of God. Therefore, there's worship that is due His name. Give Him the glory and the worship that is due His name that He deserves. Bring your offering and come into His presence. Worship the Lord in all His holy splendor. Having a heart of worship will enable us to get through anything. This next passage of Scripture describes, and I always think of Philly when I read the Scripture, because I remember the first time I sat under his teaching when he shared this. It was like, you know, it's one thing preaching the Word all the time, but when you hear somebody preach it back to you, it's like, wow. So, Phila, ek dink aan jou, my boet. Habakkuk, chapter 3. Habakkuk, right? Whoever you want to pronounce it, Habakkuk, whatever. It's thy book, ne? Chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Are you ready for this? These are like some of the things I just wish weren't in the Bible. Mothers da. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. This passage of Scripture can be summed up in modern-day language like this. Even when everything is going wrong and I have nothing to be grateful for, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm so glad you said amen. But can we say that when it is like that? Think about that, folks. That's what having a heart of worship is about. When nothing is going right and we have every reason to be despondent and discouraged and complain, can we still say, Lord, I'm going to worship You because You are You. Lord, I don't know whether You answer another prayer of mine, amen, and please don't go and tell people, die pastoor het gesê, die Here gaan my gebede nie antwoord nie. I'm just saying if a God is faithful and merciful and a God of love and justice, He's going to answer prayers, He's going to come through, He's going to fulfill Scriptures. But if it's not happening in our lives, can we then still have a heart of worship? Now, a heart of worship convinces an unbelieving world of the existence of a living God of love. That's why that picture's like that. Because inside that heart of worship, there's color, and it's clear, and it's beautiful. And outside that heart of worship, it's gray, and it's blacked out. And there's nothing wrong with the color black or the color gray. Man, it's net a voorbeeld. Hallelujah. Dankie, Nicolie. That a heart of worship teaches an unbelieving world that there's a God of love. Hoe gebeur dit? Mense bekyk jou en hulle sien die situasie waarin jy jouself bevind. En nog steeds, daar's iets binne in jou wat die wêreld nie kan aanvat nie of seer maak nie of affekteer nie. And they see, you know what, you've got every reason to moan and groan and complain and yet you're still worshiping God. What is that? And you know what happens then? You then become a salt shaker and a light bearer. Jesus teaches us to be salt and light. Salt preserves things, adds flavor, but it also makes people thirsty. That's why there's peanuts and savory snacks on bar counters. Because you're piercing, and say, oh, because you're thirsty. And then you want to visit Jack and Charles and Captain and Ali Owens. That keeps you thirsty. And that's what happens, folks. When you have a heart of worship, what you have, the Jesus in you, becomes, dit word aantreklik vir 'n verlore, ongelowige wêreld. Your life right now, is it attractive to a dying world? What's going on in your life right now? Is it making people thirsty and hungry for Jesus? Or do they think to themselves, if that's what Christianity is about, ek gaan maar voortvoeter in my eie weë. Please don't feel condemned this morning, but feel convicted and challenged by what the Spirit of God is saying to us. So a heart of worship, why is it significant for us? Well, it enables us to overcome anything, but it also teaches the world that there's a real living God that is out there. So when things are going wrong in your health and in your finances and your relationships, what's happening in your heart? That's when we need a heart of worship. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm starting to land this thing that we can get on our motorcycles and just make a difference in the world. Hebrews chapter 11 is what I'd like to call the Bible's Hall of Fame. How many of you have heard of a Hall of Fame? People, hulle presteer in 'n sekere sportsoort, and then there's a Hall of Fame where their achievements and their photos come up, and when they were the champion, and what they did, and memorabilia go with the people, and that's a Hall of Fame. So Hebrews chapter 11 is like that. It's a Hall of Fame about the heroes of faith and the things that they've achieved in their lives because of faith. And it's a challenging chapter, that chapter 11 of Hebrews. And time again, in that passage of Scripture, we see this. And by faith, so-and-so did this. By faith, so-and-so did this. And by faith, it's by faith, by faith, by faith. And it's faith. And these... Hierdie mense het ongelooflike dinge bereik. Die Here achieve stuff through them. But then things start to change towards the end of that chapter. Hebrews 11 and verse 13 says, all these people, these are these heroes, they died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised. Okay, stop right there. They did not receive what was promised. Ja, maar hulle het dan geloof gehad. They had faith that could move mountains, faith that could raise the dead. They had that. But they still didn't receive the promises of God. And maybe you sitting here this morning and you've said to yourself, myself, I've done everything I've been taught to do. I've confessed positively. I'm believing God. I'm reading the scriptures. I'm praying. Ek bid en tale. I chase demons out. I lead people to the Lord. I praise. I testify. I come to church. I go to care group. Ek besorg God se tiendes terug aan hom. And you've ticked all of the boxes. And you still haven't received what you're believing God for. Folks, it's then that we need to have a heart of worship. It says, they did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and they welcomed it. What did they speak about in the spiritual realm? They saw it from a distance. They knew God is up to something. They agreed, listen to this. This is the end of verse 13 of Hebrews 11. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Oor die algemeen, a foreigner and a nomad is somebody that's just passing through. They attach no particular value to something. Hulle skiet die wortels nie. They don't settle. They're foreigners and they're nomads. They are passing through. And it says, these people of faith were like that. So here in our lives, are we the kind of people that when the rapture takes place, die wegraping, ne? When we're going to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, are we going to be raptured upside down because we're going to be holding on to things here on the earth? Like, oh, hold on, I just want to take my Jesus with me. And oh, hang on, Lord. Or are we going to be ready? Whew, take me, Lord. Hele lach, ne? Are we focused on what's keeping us here? Die lekker goed hierso. En daar is lekker goed hierso. Hello? Six of you agree that. But daar's lekker goed hierso. But a foreigner and a nomad is somebody you're just passing through. And it says these people realized that they were foreigners and nomads in their world. Hoe sien jy jouself in hierdie lewe waar jy nou is? Besef jy, you're just passing through this phase of life. You know what we're going to be able to take with us when we go to heaven? Only people. Only people. And there's only one thing here on earth. One. I humbly put this challenge to you. Prove me wrong. There's only one thing that we'll be able to continue to do in the heavens that we're doing now, and that's worshiping God. So we best be about the business of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We best get started with it, ladies and gentlemen, having a heart of worship. And in Hebrews 11, verse 35, speaks about women having their loved ones raised from the dead. And the B part of verse 35 to 40 reads like this. And then we're done. I believe these people had a heart of worship. Now remember the background of Hebrews 11. By faith this was done. By faith. And these great things. And then it describes, and then it says this in verse 35, the B part. But others. And I think to myself, Lord, am I in that category? But others. Or am I in the category that, Lord, I'm only going to praise you, I'm only going to worship you when things are going my way, when I pray and it happens, and there's deurbraak, and there's voorsiening, and there's provision. Is that the kind of Christian that I am? Where am I the Christian who, where the completed sacrifice of Jesus and who God is enough for me? Yes, I'm believing God is going to do whatever I'm believing Him, but I want to be but others. And in the B part of verse 35, in Hebrews 11, it says this. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Aren't you glad you're at church this morning? And others were killed with a sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All of these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, and yet none of them received all that God had promised. Nou mense, ek weet nie hoe dit pas in jou theologiese paradigma nie, nee, but that to me, according to what I know in the scriptures, that does not make sense. Why did they not receive the promises of God? They're so mighty in faith that God chose to write about them and give us that in the scriptures, and yet they didn't receive the promises of God. I don't believe any theologian has an answer for that, because ek het nie 'n antwoord nie. Sometimes I face counseling situations with people where I don't have an answer. They come to me, Pastor, I don't have an answer. All I know is that God is. God is. I don't have a fancy scripture or a gebeekie wat hulle beter sal laat voel. Ek het nie 'n antwoord nie. God is. That's a heart of worship. One that is content and full in the Lord. The scripture teaches that godliness with contentment is great reward. Is what Jesus done at the cross enough? And who God is that enough? So it says, yet none of them received all that God had promised. And verse 40, for God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Speak about Jesus completing the work of the cross. We spoke about it last week, emptying out paradise, that these people could see the end of their faith then, and not us before them. This is what it means to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Do we have a heart of worship that worships the Lord in spirit and in truth? To recap that opening scripture, John 4 and verse 23, it says, the Lord is looking for those who worship Him this way. My precious brother, my precious sister, where are you this morning? What does it take to get a heart of worship? Understanding that when Jesus breathed His last on the cross, where He said, it is finished. It is finished. The scripture goes on to say that God has given us everything that pertains to a life of abundance. There's nothing more that we can receive from heaven that's going to make a difference in our lives. By faith, we can appropriate all of that, get all of that, and let that come to pass in our lives. God's encouragement for us this morning, as we leave this place and go and face the realities of the challenges that you are facing. Maybe you're at a great place in your life. We're right now, daar's 'n gesegde, onder die Afrikaans sprekendes, hulle sê, ek moet keer, anders gaan het nog beter. Hoekom moet jy keer? Moet nie keer nie, man. Let it go better. Dis 'n simpel gesegde daai. Ek moet keer of dit gaan beter. Rarig, that's like a special kind of stupid. Moet nie keer nie, laat het beter gaan, halleluja. Because the time is coming when we might not be receiving the end of our faith. Where we might have to have that heart of worship and say, God, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if you don't get me out of this, even if this prayer of mine is never answered, I'm worshiping you, God, because of what Jesus has already done and because of who you are. God is. And I can't convince you of that this morning. I can't preach that into your heart. The Holy Spirit has to convince you of that. And this is just a foundation. Next week we'll look at it again and again and again and again. But by the Spirit and the grace of God, may He start that work in your heart where we can be honest with ourselves and say, Lord, where am I at in my life with this? Do I have a heart of worship or is it conditional? And I'm not talking about moods because we have moods. We have mood swings. Some people swing a lot more than others. This means that God has given us those emotions. I'm talking about that place inside you where if you don't let Him, the devil can't touch. That we guard and protect that heart and have a heart of worship. I was going to say let the deep end come up again. But we're going to worship and we're going to sing that song when the music fades. Speak about having a heart of worship. And the song goes, Lord, I'm sorry for the thing I've made it. Get me back to a heart of worship. Remember, a heart of worship is not when we sing songs when things are going well. A heart of worship is when we let the power of Christ in us proclaim the goodness of the reality of God regardless of what is happening on the outside of us. Would you stand as we praise and pray together and then worship the Lord together one more time. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, You know us inside and out. There's nothing that we can hide from You. We sang this morning, we're going to sing again, that you're looking inside of our hearts. And Lord, the reality of life is that there's challenges that are so difficult. Lord, we feel that we cannot praise. We feel that we don't want to. We cannot see a reason to rejoice. And Lord, not only can we not see a light at the end of the tunnel, it feels as if the tunnel has collapsed on our heads. And when the reality of life happens, O Spirit of God, would You move inside of us, Lord? Father, You see the sincerity or the superficialness of our hearts this morning. You can see whether we're playing games or we're real and sincere. And 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9 says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him. And as your eyes scan the earth this morning, Lord, and as they glance over this place here today, right now, at this moment in time, our prayer is, Lord God, that what you see in our hearts will be pleasing to you. And if it is not, we thank you, Jesus Christ, that you've died, that you paid a price, that your blood was shed so that our hearts can be cleansed. We can be made whole and new again. And so, Lord God, if there's been any attitude inside of us that's not been pleasing to you, we want to say, Daddy, we're sorry. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. We're sorry, Father. And Lord, as men and women do business with you this morning, supernaturally, Lord, by your Spirit, would you equip us and empower us. And I've spoken as best as I can this morning, but you, the teacher, Jesus, Holy Spirit, would you teach us what it means to have a heart of worship that can face anything and get us through anything. And as we stand this morning and we cry out to you, Lord God, would you do that work and complete it in us in the name of Jesus. May we be people that praise you in the good times and through the bad times. May we be people that proclaim your praises when we feel like it and when we don't feel like it, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, Amen and Amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you, care for you dearly. Looking forward to seeing you same time, same place next week. Let's worship the Lord together one more time with When the Music Fades. Bless you, God.